Hello and welcome to the Anchor Wellness Podcast. My name is Niamh Hayes and I am the founder and coach at Anchor Wellness. This podcast is all about giving you information and tips about physical, mental and emotional health and well-being. I want to share my knowledge with you. I want to share other people's knowledge with you and give you practical information and tools that you can implement into your own life so that you can be the happiest and healthiest version of you. This week's episode is all about stress. So I want you to get an understanding of what stress is, what it does to us, why we have it, and yeah, just kind of clear some of the clutter that is out there about stress. Stress has this terrible reputation about this thing that happens to us that is, you know, it may be overwhelming, it makes us sick physically or mentally, people don't want to be stressed. It just has such a negative reputation about it. But I'm here to tell you that stress is not negative at all. Stress is not good or bad. So what stress actually is it's a state that you go into when something is going on in your life, okay? And that thing going on in your life doesn't have to be good or bad. It doesn't matter whether it's negative or positive. It's just a thing that's happening and your body and brain respond to that thing by creating a stress state within your brain and body, okay? So stress is not good or bad. It's just a state that happens to you psychologically and physiologically. So your brain and your body have input or have a response to this thing that we call stress. So it's just a state. I want you to get clear on that. It's not good or bad. It's just a state that our brain and our body go into. Now, stress is super important for us to be able to get through life. So because we all have things that come up every single day in our lives, whether that's good things or bad things, whether it's challenges or exciting things, there's always things going on in our lives. And we have to be able to deal with those things, whether they're positive or negative. And the stress state that our brain and body go into, that's the thing that helps us overcome the things in our lives. Okay, without stress, we would fall down at every challenge. We would fall down at any good thing or positive thing or exciting thing that happens with us. So stress actually helps us to overcome anything that's going on in life. It allows us, it allows our brain, it allows our body to adapt to the thing that's happening. And from there, we grow from it. Okay, if stress didn't happen, if we didn't get into that state, we would just wouldn't be able to exist. We would die. We would not be able to overcome anything, whether positive or negative, in our lives. So stress, it's something that we all need. Our brain, our body needs that state to be able to overcome anything that's going on in life. The next thing I want you to understand is what a stressor is. So we often say that I'm stressed because there's a certain stressor going on in my life. So a stressor is like, it's the thing that causes the state of stress. So once again, same as stress, a stressor is not good or bad, okay? It is just information. It's a stimulus that's coming into our brain and our body. Now, there's different ways that that can come into our brain and body. And if you listen to my last podcast about negative thinking, you will maybe understand this a little bit. So information comes into our brain and body through the or from the external environment through our five senses. So our sight, our ears, our nose, our mouth, and our touch. Okay, so that external stressors or external information or external stimuli coming through our senses. Then there can also be internal stressors. So that's what's going on inside our internal environment, inside our body, inside our cells, inside our organs, inside our functions and processes. So that is called interoception, and our brain is always scanning for information or stressors from our internal environment. Thoughts are the other stressor or information that our brain picks up on. And then from that information, from those stressors, our brain decides whether we are safe, whether our survival is under threat or not. So that's really, really important to understand, that stress is not good or bad. Stressors are not good or bad. Stress is just a state that you go into psychologically and physiologically. So your brain and your body change, but they change so that you can overcome things in your life. And a stressor is just information. It's just stimulus. It's something from your external environment or internal environment that's providing information to your brain, and your brain is deciding what happens next. So that information, that stressor, comes into our brain, and our brain decides whether we are under threat or not, whether there's a threat to our survival, because survival is your brain's number one job. It wants to keep you alive at all costs, whether that's from something positive or negative going on in your life. So it will then initiate the stress responses. And again, I've gone through this lots of times online. I mentioned it in my first solo podcast about negative thinking. So your stress responses, you have your fight or flight, you have your freeze, you have your shutdown or collapse. They're your different stress response states. So your brain decides what to do with that information that's come in, that stressor that's come in, and it will activate one of those stress responses depending on what is needed in that moment in time. Now, to understand stress and stressors and the stress responses, I want to take you back to our ancestors. So our ancestors were hunter-gatherers. They were out in the wilderness hunting for food, and their survival depended on it. And once they got their food, they brought it back to their tribe, and everyone was happy. Everyone got fed, everyone survived and lived another day. Then they'd have to go out again the next day, and so on and so forth. Now, when you were out in the wilderness, there was obviously predators around, in the form of, that could have been bears or tigers or lions or any sort of predators, okay? And the brain and nervous system and body, being as clever as they are, developed these responses in order to help those hunter-gatherers survive. So number one is your social engagement state, which is homeostasis. It's kind of, we also know it as balance. It's governed by the ventral branch of your vagus nerve. It's part of your parasympathetic nervous system. So this is, you can imagine, the hunter-gatherer is back with his tribe. They're all eating, they're all celebrating, everyone survived, everyone's able to share, everyone is happy, everyone is healthy, everything in their body is working pretty well, everything in their brain is working pretty well. So that's the social engagement state, and we have that very same state today as well. The next stress response state is the fight or flight. So this part, which is governed by the sympathetic nervous system, this was developed because obviously a predator comes along. What is the hunter-gatherer, what is our ancestor going to do about it? Okay, so one of the things, or two of the things it can do, is it can fight the predator or it can run away from it. So our brain, our reptilian brain, it's the oldest part of our brain, came up with this concept that our brain and body would get us ready to fight or run away from the predator. So it gave us an extra boost of energy through adrenaline and cortisol. It changed all the processes in our body. So our digestion slowed down, our heart rate went up, our breathing rate went up, our blood pressure went up. The blood went to our limbs, to our arms and to our legs, into our muscles to get us ready to fight or run away. So that's one of your stress responses. And we still have that stress response today. Then, again, being clever, the brain and body and nervous system developed another form or another stress response. And that's the dorsal branch of the vagus nerve. It's part of the parasympathetic nervous system as well. And it's the freeze or collapse or shutdown. So the hunter-gatherer came across a predator. They got all this extra energy to fight or run away from it. But they realized that the predator was too big or too fast. They weren't going to be able to run away or fight it. So the freeze state came into play then. So that's where you had all that activating sympathetic energy. So you had all the blood in your muscles, your heart rate was going, your breathing rate was going, but your whole body said, stop, you're not going to be able to go anywhere. And so you have all this energy, but you're like stuck in time. You're like a deer in headlights. So this is your freeze response. So it has a bit of sympathetic energy or activation, plus it has some of the dorsal branch of the vagus nerve activation going on. So things are starting to slow down. Things are starting to shut down. Then obviously that's not a very good place to be or a very safe place to be frozen in time with the predator just there looking at you. So the next state that was developed is the shutdown or collapse state. So that's where the hunter-gatherer ancestor decided to play dead. So they literally collapsed. Imagine fainting. Imagine just lying there, breathing slows, heart rate slows down, blood pressure slows down. And you're literally just playing dead in the hopes that the predator will go away. You'd often see it if you ever watch a cat and a mouse together. The cat will be throwing the mouse around, it'll be playing with it, and the mouse will actually just lie there as if it's dead. And when it thinks the cat isn't looking, it might get up and run away. So that's the shutdown or collapse state. That's where you're hoping that the predator is just going to run away or leave you alone, because you know, being dead isn't much good to them. So there, that's why those states were developed. It was to help your hunter-gatherers to survive out in the wilderness when there was predators around. Now, we obviously, through evolution, have developed a lot over that time, but we're still very basic and we still have those stress responses. The problem is that most of us aren't living out in the wilderness. I presume anybody listening to this isn't living out in the wilderness hunting or gathering like our ancestors were. But so even though our environment is different, we're still having those same stress responses to our modern day lives. So instead of a bear attacking us, it's our bosses attacking us. Instead of running away from a tiger, we're running away from having a fight with our partner. Instead of being frozen there, not sure what to do, you're stuck in time, you're just stuck in life, you don't know where to go, which way to turn. So modern day stressors, whether that's negative things like, you know, being stuck in traffic or having a fight with someone or disagreements with someone or comparing yourself to someone or losing someone or anything like that. So those negative stressors, but the positive stressors like getting good news, somebody asking you to marry you, going on holidays, you know, anything positive in your life, getting concert tickets you were waiting for, all of those things, still they're all stressors, they're all information that are coming into us. And sorry, our modern day lifestyles as well, that's another stressor, big part of our stressors in fact. All of those things, all the information from all of that is going into our brain, and our brain is deciding which stress response state to activate. Because these states are governed by the autonomic nervous system, it means we don't have conscious control over them. They're automatic. We don't get to say, I think I need to go into fight or flight, I think I need to shut down, I think I need to go into freeze. It's outside of our conscious control. Our brain decides what needs to happen, and it's like milliseconds. You know, it's the energy we need to get out of bed in the morning. It's the energy we need to jump out of the way of a oncoming car. It's the energy we need to sit or stand up in front of a group and chat or make a presentation. They're all the stress response states, and our brain is the one that decides which one we need. Or maybe, you know, using that example of standing up in front of people talking, maybe your brain goes blank, you start to shut down because your brain is trying to keep you safe. It doesn't feel safe in that time or in that moment in time. So that's an overview of stress, your stressors, and the stress response states. Now, there are two other stress response states, which are like a blend of two states. So if you have the ventral branch of the vagus nerve, which is the social engagement state, it's balance, homeostasis. Say, for instance, you have one foot in that and you have one foot in the sympathetic nervous system. What you get then is where you have all this activating energy because you're feeling a bit, you're feeling, or you need to be mobilized for some reason, but you still have one foot in that social engagement ventral branch of the vagus nerve. That means you feel safe. So you have this extra energy, but you're feeling safe. And where that shows up is, say, for instance, if you're involved in a sport or you're doing a competition, or you're involved in a race. So you feel safe, but you need that extra burst of energy. So that's a blended state of the two of those. And then the other blended state is where you've one foot again in the social engagement or ventral branch of the vagus nerve and one foot in the dorsal branch of the vagus nerve. So the shutdown or collapse. And this shows up when you can kind of be quiet and be intimate with someone or cuddle someone. That's where you have one foot in each of those. Okay, so there's a few blended stress response states as well. As I mentioned at the start, stress is like critical. We need stress to overcome life, to overcome challenges, to overcome exciting things, to overcome negative and positive things in life. So we need stress. Stressors, again, is just information. Our world is full of information. Our external environment and our internal environment is full of information. That's what stressors are. And the stress responses then are the different states that you go into based on the information or the stressors that are there at any given moment in time. So what we all should be aiming for is a flexible nervous system that's able to move through these different states. So we can move from social engagement up to sympathetic and down to dorsal or shutdown or collapse and then back to social engagement. So we should be able to move freely throughout the states because we're going to need the different types of activation throughout our day. You know, as I mentioned, getting out of bed, you need some sympathetic nervous system activation. Then we'll say if you're trying to get to sleep, you want to kind of go down into the dorsal where you're resting and recuperating. Then you want to be able to have a team meeting and have a really positive meeting, and that's where you need to be in the social engagement. So you need to be able to freely move in and out of the states. And that all depends on the flexibility of our nervous system. And the flexibility of our nervous system all comes down to what type of childhood we had. If we had any adverse experiences, any traumatic or really emotional experiences, it comes down to how we were taught to regulate our nervous system as kids. So were we left to cry it out? Were we actually soothed by our caregivers as kids? You know, were we always talked down to, or were we encouraged? All these things really, really matter and really affect the health of our nervous system. And then like what your experiences throughout your life and your lifestyles, things like your sleep quality, your nutrition, your movement quality, the quality of your relationships. If you've meaning and feel a sense of belonging in life, all these things affect the health of your nervous system. And the more healthy and the more you can look after all those pillars or anchors, as I like to call them, the better your nervous system will be. And the healthier nervous system is, the better physical, mental and emotional health that you will have in life. So the problem is lots of people had adverse childhoods or traumatic or emotional childhoods. They never learned how to regulate themselves. You know, their modern lifestyles are so fast paced. They're so sedentary. You know, our nutrition isn't great. Our sleep isn't great. Our movement levels aren't great. Our relationships sometimes, you know, or a lot of the time aren't great. We're distracted, we're constantly taking in information, we have so much stimulus around us. So all these things affect our nervous system, and that's why so many people, I believe, are getting sick physically, mentally and emotionally, because their nervous system isn't healthy and it's not flexible. So when your nervous system isn't flexible, what can happen is when you get an activation and you go into the different states, so the sympathetic or the dorsal shutdown collapse states, you end up getting stuck there. And the more stimulus you take in, the more distractions in your life, the unhealthier your lifestyle is, the harder it is to get back to that social engagement or homeostasis state where we want to come back to all the time. So that's really the problem, and that's why so many people are getting sick, is because they're getting stuck in those states. Their nervous systems are becoming dysregulated, they're flooded with hormones, they are flooded with inflammation, and their immune system isn't working. Their blood pressure is high, their breathing rate is high, their heart rate is high, the blood is leaving their midline, so their organs and digestive systems aren't working properly. And that's why people end up getting quite sick these days. And that's why we're seeing so many of lifestyle diseases like cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, obesity, cancers, certain cancers, I should say. All these things, a lot of them, including autoimmune diseases, a lot of them are caused by inflammation. And what they're finding now in studies is that nervous system dysregulation has a big part to play in the level of inflammation in your body. And if you're body is inflamed, then you're going to be very, very sick. The other thing I'd like you to understand about stress is the stress response cycle. So what happens is you're going about your daily life and you come across we'll call it a challenge, whether that's a positive or negative challenge. So you get an activation, you get some sympathetic activation that gives you that extra burst of energy that you need, and it does all the different things to your body. The heart rate, the breathing, the blood pressure go up, the blood goes to the limbs, everything I've described before. You become tunnel visioned, you can't concentrate on anything else, you're just focused on the thing in front of you. So that's an activation of energy. If you don't use up that extra energy, you are keeping that stress response cycle open. Okay? So to be really healthy, for your nervous system to be healthy, and therefore you to be physically, mentally, and emotionally healthy, you need to complete those stress response cycles. So when you have a challenge, positive or negative, doesn't matter. When you have a challenge, and you get that activation, so you get that burst of energy, that energy needs to move through your body. And that should happen automatically. That's just a biological process that should be happening in our body, but it's not, because of our lifestyles, because of the way we're living our lives. And so we're having all these incomplete stress response cycles from a lifetime of challenges, positive or negative. And all that extra energy in our cells is not, it's causing problems. It's causing, again, it's leading to all these things like inflammation and leading to lots of illnesses and diseases and pains and problems in our bodies and our brains. And we need to be able to bring our body back into the ability to close the stress response cycles itself. And how we do that is that we need to teach it that it needs to move that energy through your body when you get an activation. So the key is for you to realize when you move into that stress response. So, you know, if you're happy out during your day and a challenge comes along, positive or negative, it doesn't matter, and you get that little burst of energy, you notice your heart rate goes up, the blood pressure goes up, you may start sweating, you should be able to recognize when you enter the sympathetic state. And again, the problem is so many people are so disconnected from their bodies, they don't even realize when they're gone into this state. But when you start to trust your body and become friends with your body, you'll start to notice these sensations. And so when you notice that activation, you can do something about it, and you can use up that energy, whether that's pushing into a wall, or it might be throwing a pillow on the ground, or it might be shaking or bouncing up and down, anything to move that energy through your body. This is called somatic practices. It needs to be done, otherwise that extra energy keeps swarming, those bursts of hormones, they keep swarming around your body, and guess what? We end up very unwell, mentally or physically. It's the same if you go into the shutdown or dorsal state. So to get down there, you have to go from the social engagement up to sympathetic, so you get that extra burst of energy. And then if your brain thinks you need to start shutting down to protect yourself, then things will start slowing down and shutting down, but you still get that initial sympathetic burst of energy. Okay, so just to repeat that again, you're in the social engagement, the homeostasis, the balance state. a challenge comes along, you will go into this, if your brain decides, you'll go into the sympathetic state, so you'll get that extra burst of energy. And then if the threat is too much, too overwhelming, if that stressor, that information is too much, you'll go down into the dorsal branch, but you still get that initial hit of sympathetic energy. So you still need to move that energy through. And then if you do end up in that shutdown or collapse state, you actually have to, like, your body is slowing down, so you need to do things to get it back up into the sympathetic state. So you actually need to do active things. If you feel like you're in a shutdown state, you have depressive feelings, you're feeling helpless or hopeless, digestion isn't working, just the processes in your body aren't working, you actually need to start giving your body some restoration. You need to start giving it more energy in the form of oxygen, exercising, eating, anything that gives it extra energy. That'll bring you back up to the sympathetic state, and from there you can release that energy through your body, move it through your body, and you'll come back into the social engagement state. You want to be able to spend most of your time in that middle section, the social engagement one, but obviously it's going to happen. You're going to go into sympathetic, you're going to go into dorsal vagal or shutdown or collapse throughout your life, and that's what life is all about. That's what a flexible nervous system is all about, moving up and down. But the problem lies is when we get stuck and we are doing ourselves no favors because we're sedentary, because we're consuming so much information, because we're not sleeping well, we're not eating well, we're not moving our bodies, our relationships aren't as deep and meaningful as they should be, because we're doing meaningless work, we're not happy in our lives, we're not going after what we want, our basic needs aren't being met. All these things are contributing to an unhealthy and dysregulated nervous system. So I think that's enough information for one day. I've gone through stress, stressors, stress response states, and stress response cycles. I hope I broke it down and made it kind of to sound easy, because it's quite complex, it's quite scientific obviously, and you know, it's hard to get your head around. So my hope with Anchor Wellness is that I can break down these things and kind of make them simple to understand, so that you can start taking responsibility for your life. I think that's so important. Too many of us are living on autopilot, and I spoke about that in the last podcast. We need to start taking responsibility. We're deciding, we're choosing where we are right now in life, whether that's your work or your environment or your relationships or where you're living. We're deciding, we're keeping ourselves in that place. If you're happy, that's great. If you're healthy, that's great. But if you're not happy, if you're not healthy, you have to take responsibility. You cannot hand your responsibility over to anybody else. It's all yours. You have so much more control than you know about. So that is understanding stress 101. That's just giving you an overview. I hope you got something out of it. And please, if you do have any ideas of topics that you'd love to know more about, do reach out to me. Do let me know. My social media is anchor.wellness, and you'll find all my contact details on those. So until next time, please keep striving to be healthy and happy. Life is way too short to be anything but happy or healthy, but it's also way too long to not be happy or healthy. So just keep doing your best, keep taking steps every day to make sure you are healthy and happy.